Well, if I could sing, I would be singing happy birthday to the Let's Talk Thyroid podcast, because today the podcast turns one, celebrating 12 whole months of putting information, education, hope, encouragement stories out there to you to, you know, hopefully encourage you, inspire you, give you some practical tools so that you can feel better with your thyroid health. So that has been my goal. I'm so thrilled that, you know, I've got listeners all around the world, people that have joined the Let's Talk Thyroid Facebook community. Really love the interaction that goes on there. And just knowing that there's there's some positive message and education that has been contributed by my guests, by the experts that I've interviewed, you know, me just sharing my story and insights, I guess, as we've gone along. I just want to say massive thank you, because if you're listening to this, you are part of this Let's Talk Thyroid community. So happy birthday to the podcast, and to all of you, I want to say thank you for being part of it. If you would actually like to contribute to the podcast, that would be very much appreciated. There are certain costs associated with producing a podcast. I do have a little contribute via PayPal button on the show notes on my website. Absolutely no necessity to do that. This is an entirely free service, I guess, I want to provide to the thyroid community at large. But if you've benefited and you think you would like to contribute, even if it's just $5, anything would be appreciated via that PayPal link. And the other thing, I guess, you know, that I like to make sure you know that I offer is a thyroid strategy session. So if you are feeling a little bit overwhelmed, not too sure where to start, or not too sure what's next in your thyroid journey, then I would love to spend an hour with you and help you design a bit of a strategy, just a what's next, break it down into some easy doable steps, because that's sometimes what we just need, isn't it? To kind of cut through all the information and just come up with a bit of a plan. Welcome to Let's Talk Thyroid, where we explore different aspects of living a healthy thyroid lifestyle, positively and practically, to help you thrive and not just survive. Join me, Annabelle Bateman, your host, and let's talk thyroid. I am looking forward on this episode being the 12-month episode. I really wanted to go back to basics. Now, if you've been following me on social media, which is annabelle.bateman.wellness on Instagram and Facebook, on Instagram during the month of May, I recorded 30 Instagram videos on 30 common thyroid symptoms, really as part of Thyroid Awareness Month. And I thought a really nice way of wrapping that up would be to cover the basics. Just, it's always a good idea to go over the biology, you know, what the thyroid does, how it works, what can go wrong with it, what can cause what goes wrong with it, just the basics. And so I asked Tara Nelson, who is a thyroid naturopath in Western Australia. I've been following her for a while on social media. I love her experience. She's got 25 years of clinical naturopathic experience. She actually has Hashimoto's. She has a daughter with Hashimoto's. She does a lot of both seeing clients, but also training practitioners as well on how to manage thyroid conditions. So I thought she would be the perfect person to go over the thyroid basics with us. And I thought that was a nice way of rounding out the Thyroid Awareness Month of May. We've covered lots of different topics, but just to come back to the basics. And you're going to love this episode. Tara is full of lots of really valuable information, explains things really clearly. And I don't know about you, maybe it's the brain fog thing, but I always find it helpful just to be reminded of the basics. It always helps me to dig a little bit deeper into understanding my own thyroid health and what's working and what's not working. And this was no different. I did learn a couple of interesting things actually in this podcast. So we're always learning. I'm always learning. I think I learn the most because I get to talk to all these wonderful people. So I really hope you enjoy this special 12-month happy birthday, first birthday podcast, episode today. Well, welcome, Tara, to the Let's Talk Thyroid podcast. It's I'm really looking forward to getting back to basics with you today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, so I, like I said to you before, I have been stalking you on Facebook for a little while, quite a while, I think, actually. It's nice to have Australians in that space. So, you know, I have been watching and learning and being encouraged by you know, what you offer freely to all people. So we'll make sure we put the links to your social media in this as well.
Right. Yeah, thank you. That's awesome.
So we're going to have a chat about all the basics of thyroid health, because it's the end of Thyroid Awareness Month of May. And I mean, this podcast has been going for now almost exactly 12 months. So I thought it was a really great opportunity to just revisit the basics, because the more we understand that, the more it'll help us to understand our own health and challenges and all of that. So,
absolutely. And it's a big part of dealing with clients or my online programs, or even, you know, doing my practitioner training in thyroid health, that, you know, it's really important to understand, you know, the functions and go back to revisit that little bit of that anatomy and physiology and what it actually does and why it's so important and, you know, what happens when it's going into dysfunction and all those symptoms. So, yeah, basics is great to cover, I think, anytime. I think we can all learn something new when we dive into a little bit of basics, for sure.
Yeah, I'm always learning all the time. I think that I've worked out the more I know, the less I know.
That's exactly right. There's always more to learn, and there's always research. I do a lot of research. I'm a member of a lot of research associations that are constantly bombarding me with thyroid. I wish I had time. Reading research is a full-time job, so I wish I had more time to read more relevant research. But, yeah, we're always learning, and the space is always expanding, which is exciting as well.
Well, there's such a need for it, so that is exciting. And it's good to know that there's research coming through and
there
practitioners.
Is actually, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. So, Tara, tell us a little bit about you and what got you into working in the thyroid health space.
So my name is Tara Nelson. I've been a practitioner, naturopathic practitioner for 25 years now, and round about sort of, you know, probably, you know, 18 to 20 years in, I've been seeing, you know, face-to-face clients. I had a multi-modality clinic. Now I just work predominantly from home. I sold my practice when I was just about to have my first child, and I went on to have two more quite quickly. And around about sort of probably about 5 or 7 years ago, I just started thinking, I was looking at where my business was going to turn to next. You know, I was seeing, had seen face-to-face clients for so long, and the space was definitely changing. And I think I'm very a big believer in you ask and you'll be given subtle signs, or ask and you will receive. And I just started seeing a lot of thyroid clients. And it wasn't just actually a lot. It was like an explosion of thyroid clients in my clinic. And I guess I'd never seen too many before. Like, it was, and I was seeing 15 in 1 week, or, you know, 7 in 1 day. You know, I'm talking about an explosion. And I was getting very complex cases. So, you know, a young 29-year-old male walking in with a TSH of 209. I was seeing thyroid nodules. I was seeing thyroid cancer. And I just started seeing that this is a really complex little gland, and I was seeing clients that should be, you know, with results where I would think that they could not even get up off the ground, and yet they had so much energy. And then I was seeing others that had every thyroid symptom, and yet their results looked fine to me. And so I thought, right, I'm going to really, something really spoke to me about that, and I really threw myself more when I wasn't practicing into research, and just really absorbing any information that I could take on about the thyroid gland. And then along the way, I discovered that, you know, I was always encouraging, I wrote a practitioner training program, because I realised that practitioners in Australia, when I was looking at my naturopathic guidelines and principles and protocols, they just weren't working. It was very simplistic. It was like a one size fits all, very much like the medical system. And I didn't like that. You know, there were these combination formulas, these synergistic thyroid formulas, but I thought, but it's not really treating the underlying causes. It hasn't got enough of what I really wanted to treat. And then I encourage, you know, I wrote a training program for practitioners, and I really encourage all my practitioners to get tested. And then I was having a very strange symptom for quite a while. And what it was almost like a reflux. I thought it was a reflux. I treated, before I niched into thyroid health, I treated a lot of gut gastrointestinal, ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease, and, you know, gut infections. So I treated a lot of reflux with great success, but nothing that I was doing was shifting it. And I was just talking to my GP one day, and she said, look, let's do a full thyroid panel. Well, she didn't do the full thyroid panel. Actually, she just said, did my TFTs. And Because I said, I want an endoscopy. I want to see what's going on. We did that. That was all clear. You know, she texted me a couple of days later and said, you have subclinical hyperthyroidism. You have a TSH of 7 and very low hormones. And I nearly fell off the chair. Here I was niching into thyroid health, preaching it, teaching it, and yet, boom. Anyway, and then I tested my antibodies and, yes, I had Hashimoto's disease. So I got all my children tested. So I have Hashimoto's and my 15-year-old daughter, I diagnosed with her with Hashimoto's, and it just made so much sense. And it really brought me to realize that there are so many people walking around with undiagnosed thyroid conditions, really just due to the inadequate testing and practitioners just not knowing enough about what to look for in people. So that really spurred me on. It was almost like a blessing. I mean, at first I was shocked, of course, having an autoimmune disease, but I took it on as an absolute blessing that now I know how people feel. I know about that exhaustion, that brain fog, those symptoms. But also it is a beautiful, and I try and teach this to my patients as well, is that it's a gift and it tells me now I'm in remission. My antibodies are, you know, below the reference range and all my parameters are in range and I feel really good, but it's definitely a barometer that tells me when I'm working too hard or I'm stressed or I'm not sleeping, those symptoms will come back. Because we're probably jumping the gun a bit, but, you know, once you have an autoimmune condition, yes, we can get it into remission, but things will flare that up again. The immune system always remembers. But, yeah, so it was, yeah, that's kind of how.
Yeah, that's really interesting because normally it's the other way around, isn't it? It's that I've got it, I've found it, I need it, you know. So I think that's really interesting.
And I think that's why I was so drawn to it. And the other thing I firmly believe, so I was diagnosed when my daughter was around my youngest. So I had 3 children in 4 years. I had quite a small frame. I ended up having 3 cesareans. So I was breastfeeding, you know, 3 major operations, pregnancies. And I think probably around about 3 months postpartum with my 3rd child was when it actually happened, because my hair.
Right. When you look back, that's what you can work out.
Yeah. Yep. And I see that with women, you know, postpartum as well. You know, they didn't know they had a thyroid condition, but a lot of the time there is that underlying thyroid condition that's never developed. Then they go into pregnancy and it's either triggered in pregnancy or it's possibly triggered postpartum.
But we don't know. And I think we'll come to all of the testing. We'll come to that. As you said, we're jumping the gun, but that's really helpful. And I think it's always good to know, what draws people in.
Personal and just desire, I think, to really bring awareness to practitioners, to patients, to the public, to even, you know, my big aim is to really educate one, to get it out there to the medical system as well and change how thyroid is dealt with.
Yeah, that is brilliant because, you know, I talk to lots of people and that's a common frustration. Yes. Very common frustration.
It's a common frustration for a naturopathic practitioner.
I'll bet.
Also, for all practitioners, it's a massive frustration.
We'll cheer you on, gratefully.
I'm getting there. I'm chipping away slowly.
Well, that's all we can do, isn't it? We chip away, we influence those that are in our world. And, you know, I guess that's what I believe our kind of life purpose is just to be you in your world, and that's what you're doing, and that's what I'm trying to do. I think that's what we all try to do. So we're going to go back to basics, and so let's go right back to the beginning. And what even is the thyroid?
Yeah, so it's a little gland that sits at the top of our neck, just below the Adam's apple. It's a little butterfly-shaped gland, and it's part of the endocrine system. So the endocrine system that includes the thyroid, the pancreas, the adrenals, the gonads, the pituitary, and even the gut. There's more research going into the whole endocrine system. And it's a very highly vascular gland. So there's lots of blood vessels around it. It gets inflamed very easily. It's affected by many different body symptoms. And it sits there at the top of I feel it's like in the midline of the body. And it makes hormones such as what we call T4 and T3 or thyroxine or triiodothyronine. And it releases hormones into the bloodstream when it's needed. And those hormones, those thyroid hormones, affect pretty much every single cell and tissue in the body. And what the thyroid does is it basically controls our temperature and our energy and our metabolism. And that it pretty much controls all those three things of every single cell. So every single cell has thyroid hormone receptors in it to help to metabolize and control the energy function of that cell. So it has really a really important function in the whole body. When you think about things like the heart function, you know, the digestive function, the kidney function, all those systems, the pancreas, the adrenals, all those systems require really healthy thyroid hormones to activate. So when people, when the thyroid either slows down or it speeds up to its different conditions, it's going to affect every single cell and tissue. Well, not every, it seems like people can have different low or high thyroid hormone receptors in different parts of the body. So it might not affect every single cell of that person. It's a very individualized thing, and we can look towards their symptoms to see what body system is being affected. But when it either slows down or speeds up, the symptoms are a lot because of that, those receptors on every cell.
Okay, so like receptors in one part of the body might be maybe less receptive than others, and that's why we might feel a symptom in the gut or the brain. That's interesting.
I think someone would say hypothyroidism and they have a lot of brain fog, then there might be sort of, you know, the brain receptors are not being, you know, and there's other things as well. So we can look for stress there and hypothalamic and pituitary dysfunction affecting that. If the digestive system's really being affected, then we can look towards that those receptors in that area are not being activated enough, or in hypothyroidism, Graves' disease, activated too much.
And is there a way to test that, or is that more like the symptomatic, like you sort of deduce that from symptoms? That's interesting.
Yes. But no, I would say that generally we're looking at, when we're testing thyroid hormones, it's looking at, yeah, the level of thyroid hormone in the blood.
Not looking at the individual like cellular receptors. Yes.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, no, I hadn't heard that, but I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. Yeah. Mm,
yeah.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that's sort of what the thyroid is and doesn't it? So it produces these thyroid hormones. What are the common things that go wrong with a thyroid?
So as I said before, it's such a very sensitive little gland. So it's very vascular. It sits just underneath the skin. There's a lot of lymph involvement. So it can become very inflamed. We often call it an environmental sensing gland. So it can actually slow down or speeds up in times of stress. You know, its whole metabolic function, I think, when you think about in times of war and famine, it would, and not enough food coming in, it would actually slow down in those times to, you know, it's like, well, there's no food coming in, there's not enough energy for the body. We're going to slow down that whole metabolism of the body, so the demands for food and calories are less. So it's very receptive to what's going on, you know, and I say it's very receptive upstream and downstream. So, you know, it affects the brain functioning affects the thyroid, or when there's other problems in, say, you know, with hormones, the gonads and the hormone reproductive organs aren't working well, or, you know, the adrenals are under pressure, or the pancreas and blood sugar issues, even gallbladder, liver, the thyroid's going to respond to that. So it really sits at that top of the neck and is affected by things happening upstream and downstream, and will respond accordingly, slowing down, making more hormones. And if there's not enough, it's affected by, you know, toxicity, can slow down when there's a lot of toxins around. And if there's not enough even nutrients, so, you know, it's very, very nutrient dependent. It needs a lot of optimal nutrients. And when the thyroid does not have the right ingredients to make its hormones, it's not going to be able to do that either. There's a lot of different things. So I said stress will affect its functioning, hormone imbalances, toxicity, even infections, whether it's a gut infection or a systemic infection such as sinusitis, viruses as well, can result in the gland either overproducing hormones or underproducing hormones. So there's so many things that can affect it.
It's a little sensitive soul, isn't it?
It's very sensitive. And I think this is why, you know, there are so many thyroid conditions, and it's increasing because we live in a world with so much stress. I mean, look at the past 18 months. It's been the whole world is under stress. And we've seen, you know, there has been some research articles on COVID, not only COVID itself being a viral infection affecting Hashimoto's and the functioning of the gland, but also just the stress that COVID has created in really increasing thyroid conditions or flaring them up for sure.
I guess it's responding to so many different things. There's so many different things that can go wrong.
Yeah. And it's a nutrient expensive little gland. So it needs a lot of nutrients. You know, we've got to have really good gut health also to absorb nutrients. So there's, you know, things that can be affected there. And if you combine that with an autoimmune disease such as Hashimoto's or Graves' disease, that nutrient demand is even higher because the immune system is a very nutrient expensive system as well. So I did training with Angie Ballantyne and Mickey Trescott on the AIP protocol.
Oh, yeah.
That really looked at the immune system, not only from the diet, there's a lifestyle perspective with AIP that's just as important as the diet, which I think people miss. But the immune system is a really nutrient-dependent gland, so, you know, requires a really nutrient-dense diet and optimal nutrients to function well. So you've got the thyroid and you've got the immune system in total disarray. So, yeah, that's what I really work with as a big step, is to get those nutrients into optimal levels, because it makes a big difference to people.
And is that do you find that people need a lot of supplementation, or is it more through diet, or it's a combination? When you're talking about getting those nutrients right.
Yeah, look, I wish we could get it through diet alone, but, you know, when you think about, you know, diet, our foods are very depleted in nutrients, you know, unless people are eating, you know, a lot of organic foods, which I do highly encourage, organic meats and proteins. But initially when I'm seeing on blood tests really either low iron or D or selenium or zinc or whatever, or iodine, we've got to go in with supplementation to get those to optimal levels, make sure the gut's working well, you know, fix the stress, fix the infection. If there's an infection, the immune system is going to be working over time as well and burning a lot through those nutrients. So fixing those underlying causes and triggers, and also getting those nutrients up to optimal levels initially, just gets us up to a nice little baseline. And then once everything's sort of working well, we can drop back on the supplementation. But, yeah, there's no getting out of taking supplements initially. I wish we could, but we can't. So, it just makes sense. And we're giving really high doses sometimes too, because we're dealing with two very nutrient dense or nutrient expensive systems there.
And so can you explain what's the difference between hypothyroid, hyper, and the connections then with Hashimoto's and Graves?
Yep. Yeah, so hypothyroidism is when the gland slows down. So it doesn't, whatever's happening in the body, it just can't produce enough hormones. And the biggest cause of that, and so what happens in hypothyroidism is the body slows down because it's not getting, so we think of metabolism, it requires a certain amount of T3 and T4 thyroid hormones for every cell to metabolize and the body to metabolize well. In hypothyroidism, when the thyroid gland can't produce enough of its thyroid hormones, all the body systems slow down. So we get, you know, a sluggish digestive system. We get a sluggish, you know, tiredness and fatigue and brain fog and hormones don't work well, and blood sugar levels can be affected. The biggest cause of hypothyroidism is Hashimoto's thyroiditis. So when the immune system, which is the autoimmune condition of hypothyroidism, is where, you know, that's when the immune system develops antibodies and starts attacking the thyroid tissue. And during that attack, it destroys those follicular cells and those thyrocytes within the gland. So there's a reduced capacity to produce its hormones. And I do, like, when I first seeing thyroid clients, particularly if they have an autoimmune disease, when we discover that, either Hashimoto's or Graves, I do like to, well, actually any thyroid client, I guess, is to get a thyroid ultrasound so I can look at the tissue through the ultrasound and see how much available tissue is there to actually produce the thyroid hormones. And then in you've got hypothyroidism and Hashimoto's, and then on the other side of the coin, you've got hyperthyroidism and Graves' disease. And hyperthyroidism is when the gland overproduces its hormones. So if something has triggered it, could be a toxic nodule, it could be a virus combined with stress, leaky gut. That's when the body receives way too many thyroid hormones. So if you think again, the metabolism, I call it, it's like running, the body is running a marathon while standing still. That's the effects. You know, like when we run a marathon, our metabolism speeds up, we burn through. Yeah, and we're exhausted, but that's what's happening in hyper and Graves' disease is the excess thyroid hormones is stimulating every cell. So there's a big, massive rush of metabolism and the body speeds up. So we have loose stools, we have anxiety, we have insomnia, we can drop weight like kilos in a week. It's very, very aggressive on the body. Again, the biggest cause is autoimmunity as well. So Graves' disease where the immune system is producing antibodies against the tissue.
I mean, it's my understanding they're the most common, Hashimoto's being the most, but autoimmune thyroid is the most common. Can you explain thyroid nodules and thyroid cancer too? Because I know sometimes they get a little, well, left out maybe.
Sure, yeah. And I'm seeing that more and more now that I've niched, you know, and I think when I first started, I was seeing a lot of hypo-hashis and I put all my effort into that. And I have Hashimoto's as well. And so I have that personal interest, but I'm seeing so much more hypothyroidism and Graves' disease. I think it is a lot more common than we think. It is really, and I want to bring awareness to that side of it as well, because I think in the medical profession, you have hypothyroidism and Graves' disease because it is so aggressive. They want to get rid of it fast. So they'll suppress it with antithyroid drugs. If that doesn't work, they'll offer radioactive iodine, which will kill off the tissue, or they'll suggest or thyroidectomy. So I think a lot of patients don't reach out because they're whipped away to the endocrinologist or the surgeon. Uh-huh. You've got to get rid of that thyroid. And then they go into, you know, they've got to rely on thyroxine for the rest of their life. But I think because the more I'm in this niche is I'm getting clients from all over the world, particularly with hypothyroidism and Graves' disease, wanting help, that they don't want to have it, and is there something else? So the, one of those biggest causes is thyroid nodules. Now, nodules are super common. So they are more common than we think, and that's another reason why I like to get a baseline of ultrasound to see what's happening. Usually nodules, they will create a bit of inflammation. There's different types of nodules we can have. There is like a growth of the tissue. We can have hot nodules, cold nodules, colloid nodules. There's lots of different types. But sometimes, and they can, if they're not too big, you know, so some of them can overgrow. They can be in a cluster called multi-nodule goiter. That will cause some swelling in tissue. So when we see a goiter around the nodules, if that's obstructing any sort of like, you know, swallowing or breathing or, you know, it's very uncomfortable, then they may be treated. If they're over a certain size, they might, or they look a bit suspicious on ultrasound, they might go in and do a fine needle aspiration, so an FNA or a biopsy. A lot of the time I see clients that come back after that and it's inconclusive. Now, because, you know, sometimes these nodules can become cancerous, it's quite rare, but it is possible. Again, the medical professional will say, well, let's just take out the thyroid. They might do a partial if they can just do one lobe where the nodule is or nodules. They might remove that and then hope that's the best case scenario if the person goes down that route because then they still have the other lobe, which can function quite well. So I do have clients that have had a partial thyroidectomy. They still have enough available tissue to produce its own hormones. Or if there's not enough, they'll still have to rely on thyroxine. So nodules are common. Some of the most common reasons why people develop nodules are low iodine. So we always test for iodine. Iodine excess, again, can be a little bit of a cause of Graves' disease or hyperthyroidism. So iodine can be a little bit of an issue. But
it's a tricky one, isn't it?
But it's something that we all need in our body, and I always test and see what's going on there. Things like there's research around toxicity being driving nodule development. Also things like gut infections, blastocystis, there's a bit of research around gut infections. H. pylori is a very common trigger as well. Mm-hmm. So there's and viral viruses as well and autoimmunity, low vitamin D, selenium. They're some of the things why nodules can develop that I screen for a lot of my patients to find their underlying drivers. But nodules are very common. So usually we see, you know, by the time someone's sort of 50 or 60, most people will have some sort of nodule development going on in their thyroid. It's very common. And then, again, if those cells change there could be a bit, if it metastasizes or it goes carcinogenic, then it could be cancerous.
Okay. And then typically with thyroid cancer, they remove the thyroid. Is that right?
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Okay.
Straight away. And that is why that, you know, thyroid cancer is one of the most curable cancers in the world, because they just take it out straight away. It's a tricky one because, you know, I've had a lot of clients that have had multinodular goiter or suspicious nodule that's got quite large. They've gone down the route of having total thyroidectomy, and then they found out, because it's very hard to determine what that nodule is going to do or what's happening at the time. I was actually just listening to something driving this morning about this, because, you know, I listen to thyroid stuff all the time.
Yeah, that's okay. Me too. Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, it's not. It's not boring. Not when you're into it.
Is there something else I can learn? But we're talking about nodules, and you know, it's very hard to tell what's going on in that little nodule in the neck. So probably 85% of the time it'll be inconclusive, but they can't tell whether it's malignant or not. So usually I've read a bit of research the other day, and they're changing the medical sort of algorithm of how they treat nodules, which is actually really good. Mm. And they're leaving it for a little while. So they might leave it for 3 to 6 months and just wait and retest it again. But, you know, I guess it's while that's happening, there's a lot of stress for that person that could potentially have thyroid cancer. So, you know, I was treating a guy the other day. He had Hürthle cell neoplasm, and it was a fine needle aspiration, and it was not malignant. It was benign, but Hürthle cells can spread quite quickly, and he decided to go and have that partial. But yeah, it's a tricky one, because he said, I just don't want to worry about it. And I said, well, as long as we can leave some tissue there for your thyroid to function normally, possibly on its own, then that's ideal. But the medical sort of recommendation is removal.
Mm. And I know with that, maybe because I know a bit more about the autoimmune stuff, because that's my story. There is so much diet and lifestyle, you know, mindset, stress, detoxing, food, yes, things that we can do to help manage that inflammatory load.
Yes, yeah.
But I hear a lot of people, and I've got a few, you know, friends that have had thyroids removed, and they're like, well, that's not really, I don't have an autoimmune condition, so I'll just take my thyroxin. That's all I really need to do. I'm like, oh, I don't know that that's, I'm not sure. But so what's your view on that? Like, if you've had your thyroid removed non-autoimmune, or maybe, yeah, then does that still matter?
Yeah, it does, because, well, I think just because you've had something removed doesn't mean that, you know, that problem isn't going to shift to somewhere else in the body. So why did the hypothyroidism or the thyroidectomy is usually because of, you know, a nodule or thyroid cancer,
mm-hmm.
Or hypothyroidism and Graves.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can have a toxic nodule that's just overproducing thyroid hormones and not have Graves' disease with it. So, yes, you can have that sort of instance. So I mainly see people that it's been through an autoimmune condition, I guess, combined with nodules or whatever, or hypothyroidism Graves. But, yeah, what happened, you know, why did what happened in the body for that system to go awry, you know, and just by removing the gland doesn't fix the reason why. So if definitely there was autoimmunity, that needs to be sorted out, because the autoimmunity may move to do another part of the body. The immune system may just start to develop. So there's always underlying causes and triggers of why we develop conditions in the body. And if we just remove the organ and not treat that, you know, underlying condition, it'll develop somewhere else in the body.
Okay.
So particularly post-thyroidectomy, I'm always working with clients too. So post-thyroidectomy, if they've had a total thyroidectomy, so remove the whole thyroid, they will have to rely on thyroxine for the rest of their life, because they have no thyroid gland to produce T4. One of the most common things I see with my thyroidectomy clients is the inability to convert that T4 to T3. Mm-hmm. So I don't actually like, for various reasons, giving or when clients are put on T3, but post-thyroidectomy, maybe one of those times where it is needed.
Okay.
So and when we're looking at why that person isn't converting their thyroxine that they're taking, their T4 they're taking, medication to T3, now going back to basics again, T3 is, so the thyroid gland produces mostly T4, a little bit of T3, And then that goes out into the body and it's converted in the peripheral tissues or the liver or the gut into T3. And T3 actually gets into the cell and gives us our metabolic effect. Okay. So we can take as much thyroxine as we like, but unless we're having that conversion, that can cause issues. So we need really good, you know, inflammation, high estrogen, high cortisol, things like low selenium and zinc. Those sort of things can affect T4 being converted to T3. So a common thing I work with thyroidectomy clients is making sure that conversion. So when I'm looking at blood tests, I want to make sure that T3 or T4, it's three times as high as higher than T3. So I'm looking at the T4, it might be, say, 15, then they should have a T3 around 5. So it's a 3-to-1 relationship, T4 to T3.
Okay.
And if the T3 is lower, then we're looking at, well, you're not converting it in your body. That's why you've got all these symptoms. It's a really common one. So looking at, when we look at those thyroid conditions like hypo, Hashimoto's, Graves, one of the conditions I see a lot in clinic is poor conversion of either their own thyroid hormone T4 to T3 or the thyroxine they're taking to T3.
And so that's where some of that supplementation might be helpful, gut health,
yes.
Food, reducing inflammation.
Yes. Looking at their hormones, improving their stress response, because high cortisol, high estrogen will affect that conversion. Things like high cortisol. So when we have high cortisol from stress, ongoing chronic stress, or even high estrogen, which is super common in many women, it increases this compound called thyroid binding globulin, or TBG. And T4 actually circulates in the body. So when it's produce, it goes out into the serum, into the periphery, and it's bound to this TBG. And then it's released and cleaved into T3 and gets into the cell. When we have things like high estrogen and high cortisol, it raises the production of TBG. And that will bind more and more of our T4. And when it's bound to T4, it's inactive. That's another reason why people may not have. Yes, there's always underlying drivers that need to be sorted out.
Yeah. And that, so let's come to the testing. So assume for a minute that someone thinks that they've read up on different symptoms. They think they might have a problem with their thyroid. What should they do?
Well, ideally they'll go to their GP and that, because we want to try and get it under Medicare so it doesn't cost them anything. I work with some wonderful GPs that do all the testing, but I know how hard it is going to see clients online, and I see clients around the world. It's very hard to get the right testing. But we want to, go to the GP and say, I think, something's wrong with my thyroid. I want to get it tested. And we need to get the full thyroid panel. So initially I want TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone, which comes from the brain. It comes from the pituitary. And it tells the thyroid gland how much hormone to produce. So TSH will tell us a lot about, is it the brain function, how the pituitary and the hypothalamus and the thyroid are talking to each other. So TSH is great, but we also want, and that's the one that's commonly tested a lot, TSH.
Yeah, that's usually their first port of call, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what most GPs will just do that.
Yes, but we want it all. We want it all in one go so we can look at the thyroid puzzle and how it interacts all together. So TSH and the thyroid stimulating hormone, we also want the thyroid hormones that the thyroid gland actually produces, the T4 and the T3. And that'll tell us how much, it'll tell us if their medication is being absorbed, number one, if they're taking thyroxine. But if they're not taking thyroxine, the T4 will tell us the ability of the gland to produce its T4. Its own thyroid hormones. And then the T3 will tell us how much active hormone is getting into each cell. T3 is one, like quite often we'll get TSH and T4 if we're lucky. They don't test T3, and it's getting harder and harder to test T3 these days. Particularly talking to someone in Tasmania last week. They don't even test it anymore there. I'm not sure why. But T3 tells me how much hormone is able to get into your cell. That's giving you that beautiful.
That should be the more important reading, if anything.
It's giving you
it?
Energy. It's giving you, that's your, you're not, if you're feeling tired, fatigued, sluggish, your T3 is going to be low. And then reverse T3 I like to look at, because, again, if T3 is low, what's happening to that T4? Is it all going off to something called reverse T3, which is the normal function of the thyroid. So when if you're involved in a car accident or something like that, when they test your reverse T3, it'll be really high, because when you have an accident or something like that or an injury, the whole body will slow down. So, you know, we don't want to be metabolizing. We don't want to have lots of energy. We want all that inflammatory responses to happen and to start healing. So those metabolic functions that normally happen will slow down, and we'll see reverse T3 high, because reverse T3 is like a metabolic brake. It's like, put on the brakes. We don't need to be doing all this. There's another crisis over here. But you can imagine for a lot of people with thyroid conditions, there's a lot of crises happening all around.
Yeah, I was going to say, that makes sense. Mm.
So all their good, healthy T, so their gland could be, you know, really adept at making its thyroid hormone T4, but it's going all off to reverse T3, which is slowing everything down. So we like to see reverse T3, and then we want to check our thyroid, its antibody, so thyroperoxidase or TPO and thyroglobulin and TG. There's another one called TRAb, which I like to test. So if I'm thinking someone is displaying symptoms of hyperthyroidism or Graves' disease, a TRAb or TRAb antibodies are produced in Graves' disease. So I like to test that as well if I'm thinking that that's going on. And a lot of people I see, you know, have had, Hashimoto's for hyperthyroidism for many years, but when I go through their health history, their underlying initial condition was actually postpartum thyroiditis or Graves' disease or something like that. And it's actually really helpful, because these people can flip back and forth between, you know, Hashi's, Graves, hyper, and there's a diff. We treat them in a different way than your stock standard hypo Hashi's, hyper Graves. So it's more about modulating glandular and immune function rather than treating either way, because we can actually keep pushing them side to side. So, yeah, TRAb antibodies are good to see if they're present as well.
And they're often the ones that can be hard to get from your GP.
Yeah,
is that right?
Absolutely. It's tricky. You know, practitioners, we have access to things called naturopath and other testing. We can get the full thyroid panel for you, but you just have to pay for it. So I do try and get them to go back to their GP. Most people will know. I mean, if I'm seeing clients in clinic, I'm very lucky to have doctors that I work with now. But if I'm seeing people online, you know, I have a little tricks and tips that I can sort of, or I can write a referral letter for their doctors. You know, a lot of practitioners will write referral letters for you and, you know, say, this, I'm really thinking, can we get this, please? And often if a patient says to their doctor, I will pay for it, if you could just do what you can, you know, and we let's think about, you know, doctors that work, that have run 5 days a week and have very busy clinics, they're under a lot of pressure from Medicare. So it's not actually all about that GP refusing. It's often they have to follow a protocol. It's a paradigm, you know, a protocol that they have to follow. And unfortunately, the thyroid protocol is that we test in the medical profession, we test TSH first. If that's high or if it's low, we might wait 3 months and then we'll test it again. If it's still high or lower, or it's got higher or lower, we might then go and do T3 and T4. You know, it's really a very slow process, and it's very frustrating. But if you go to your GP and say, look, what can you give me? I really want these tests. And I think sometimes we have to be direct. And look, I want my antibodies tested and my reverse T3. You'll have to pay for the reverse T3 anyway. It's not covered under Medicare. Mm-hmm. But if you say, I just want to, you know, get a baseline and I'll pay for it, generally they'll do it. Then it takes the pressure off them. Medicare gives our GPs a hard time if they're ordering things that is not on the schedule. So they are under a lot of pressure. We have to give them that.
I mean, it's my understanding, I've looked into it, they're not that expensive. It's sort of around that $80-ish sort of mark.
Yeah. Yeah, and to get a baseline.
So that's definitely worth knowing. That's worth
knowing.
Money well spent.
You know, are we treating, you know, hyperthyroidism? Are we treating an autoimmune disease? The treatment plan will be very different if someone has sort of, not, I shouldn't say straight hyperthyroidism, but, you know, or if they've got Hashimoto's or Graves' disease, it'll definitely, I need that information. It's essential for me before I treat anyone.
So many people just don't know, like from the, you know, we often talk to people and they say, oh, I think I've got a thyroid problem. Oh, what have you got? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I've got the one that makes me fat. That's what I've been told quite a few. I've got the one that makes me fat. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Do you know? Maybe Hashimoto's, that sort of rings a bell. Mm. I'm like, oh my God.
That's important. What I was seeing initially. Like now I just get you know, tons of thyroid patients see me, but initially when I was, you know, talking to people in clinic, you know, and going through their health history, they'd say, you know, I would start with what medication are you taking. Oh, I'm on thyroxine. Oh, you've got a thyroid condition. Yeah, I think it's hypo. I don't, you know, and I say, oh,
do you? I was just told, take the pill. Yeah.
Yeah. Is it Hashimoto's? What's that? And I don't know how many times I heard that. Well, I don't know what that is. I said, well, have you ever had your antibodies tested? Oh, I have no idea. And these were patients or women that were, they had been taking thyroxine for 20 years or so. Then we had did a full thyroid panel. And there we go. There's antibodies in the thousands. And that's 20 years of
suffering,
antibody attack, suffering, very debilitating symptoms. But also from that clinical point of view, you know, there's not much bioavailable tissue left anymore to produce thyroid hormones or have that metabolic effect on the body. So it's really, yeah, it's distressing. I think it's really frustrating.
Yeah. So if you go through the testing, and what happens if it comes back normal, but you still feel like it's not normal? I guess that's, what do you do then?
Yep. And I have a lot of clients like that too, that, you know, say, I think I've got a thyroid condition. I've been to the doctor. I've got all the symptoms, every single symptom. I've got weight gain. I can't shift. I'm tired. I've got dry skin. My hair's falling out. I've got, my periods are irregular. I can't sleep. You know, all the symptoms. I've got constipation. That's more hypo, more hypo symptoms. But I've asked so many doctors. They all say my thyroid's fine. And then I'll go, oh, yep, you haven't had the right panel. Let's get the full thyroid panel done. And I'll put money on my, you know, that they would have come back with either hypo or Hashimoto's or whatever. And they come back and I'm looking at their results and I go, well, you know what? It's picture perfect. Natural, perfectly picture perfect thyroid results. So sometimes this can be something called what we call cellular hypothyroidism or cellular resistance. So there is a thyroid condition quite commonly where the thyroid, the gland is functioning as normal. So it's actually a good healthy tissue. It's producing enough thyroid hormones. So we're seeing good levels of T3, T4. The TSH is in range because of those hormones are in range. Usually no antibodies here, but what's happening is that the thyroid hormones, that T3, cannot get into the cell. So it's called cellular resistance.
So that's coming back to that receptive stuff that we talked at the beginning.
Yes, And it's the glands working perfectly well, but it's coming back to that cellular level. So we see this commonly in very inflammatory type or low mitochondrial state conditions. So if there's obesity or cardiovascular disease or, you know, chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, there's some of the conditions where they're quite characteristic of something called low mitochondrial function. So every cell has that energy and that, you know, should have really healthy mitochondria. Now, when we're seeing those conditions that have quite a high inflammatory load, it can affect that mitochondrial function, and it's almost like it just blocks the receptor on a receptor level, the T3 getting into the cell. So again, we have to go in and fix up all those underlying conditions. A really big one there is chronic stress. So chronic ongoing stress and cortisol dysregulation, HPA dysfunction. That is a big one that can affect at the receptor level. So often I had a classic client who was a lawyer. She worked in Colombia, very stressful job for 5 years, just had very chronic stress, came over to Australia, actually saw me in clinic. And she was one of these patients that I really thought, oh, you've got every thyroid symptoms. But she was so inflamed. She had her cortisol was all over the place. And when we actually just went in and nurtured her, her stress and her cortisol, and decreased her inflammation, and we didn't actually even treat her thyroid. We just and gave her the nutrients that she needed. All her symptoms went away. So it's cellular resistance, cellular hypothyroidism is another sort of condition that, is on my radar as well.
Yeah, that's good, because there do seem to be people like that, and they get frustrated and, you know, it's all in your head, and then you end up in this different kind of spiral. And
well, I think number one is like, have you had the right tests, or are they just
testing? Of course.
Because as we know too, people can have Hashimoto's and still have a very normal, TSH. So a TSH of like 1 or 1.5 or 0.5, that's ideally where we like TSH to be, 0.5 up to about 1.5. Any lower, we sort of could be thinking hyper, any higher, hypo, but we can still have antibodies. And usually what we've, that's sort of either stage one of Hashimoto's, where the antibodies just hasn't affected glandular function yet, or that person could have done a lot of work and are actually just skating along quite nicely. Their antibodies aren't affecting, they're still there, but they're not affecting that glandular function. So number one is, yeah, have you had the right testing? You know, we need to rule that out and make sure, because a lot of people have antibodies and they don't even know it because of that picture-perfect TSH. Number two is, yes, is it cellular hypothyroidism? You know, is that what we're dealing with there? So, yeah, it warrants, you know, really good investigation.
Yeah, I think that seems to be often the thing, isn't it? You've just got to test. You know, you can't just guess. You've got to test. Work with a practitioner that knows what they're doing, right? And don't give up.
So many things, you know, just it's not like we've talked about. There's not just your hyper Hashim's Graves. There's cellular hypothyroidism. There's poor, you know, conversion from T4 to T3. You could have this high thyrobinding globulin, which we can test for that, that's binding all your T4 because of your high cortisol and your high estrogen. So if you've got hormonal condition, you know, hormonal regulation, PCOS or endometriosis or any of those sort of, you know, hormonal imbalances, that can, you know, raise your estrogen and increase this TBG, which binds all your T4, rendering it inactive. So there's a lot of different things that can be going on within anyone's thyroid presentation. It's just not as simple as take the thyroxine and see you later. Have your thyroid removed and then take your thyroxine and see you later.
It's just not simple at all. That's what I've, you know, that's what I've learned, is that it's just not simple. And so, I mean, I think we could keep, I'm mindful of the time, but we could talk, well, I could probably talk to you for a much, much longer. But can I ask you one more question? Is that okay if you've got time for one more question? So how do you recommend people find a practitioner that knows what they're talking about? Whether that's a doctor or naturopath or both, or and obviously people can connect with you and we'll definitely share your contact details. But if people are looking for someone local, how do you suggest they find someone that can actually help them?
Well, I think these days, you know, many practitioners will put on their bio or their about page that they, you know, do have an interest in treating thyroid health, or that's mm-hmm. their specialty or their niche. So, you know, definitely really researching your practitioner. A lot of practitioners now offer discovery calls. So I offer like a 15-minute free discovery call. That's uh-huh. also for me to make sure that that's the right person that I want to work with, because I'm exclusively only seeing thyroid patients now. So it also helps me to see, yeah, if you're right for me, if I'm right for you, and actually maybe, you know, I know another practitioner that would suit you much better. But, asking the questions. Don't be afraid to ask. Look, I've got a thyroid condition. Is it something that you have experience with? You know, what do you do? What's your protocol? Working with GPs, I think general practitioners are general practitioners. You know, that's not going to change anytime soon. But also there's groups. There's a lot of forums out there. Find a really good, you know, thyroid formula forum, sorry, either it's on Facebook or Instagram. I run a patient thyroid page, Tara Nelson Thyroid Health Naturally, where you can ask the question, who's a good practitioner in my area? There's also, I know you've got a page you can ask there. There's another group I know in Perth that's set up, I can't remember the name on Facebook, but they've got a really good database of GPs and endocrinologists in Perth and the surrounds that they would their patients highly recommend. So
yeah.
I think we're very lucky to have the big wide world web, which is sometimes Dr. Google can be more
you've got to take the good with the bad, don't you?
Ask the questions. Don't be afraid to ask. Make sure you know, as I said, lots of practitioners offer discovery calls, and make sure you resonate, you know, if you get a good feel with that person. And
because I mean, my view is that we've got as a patient, we should build a support team, you know, around us. And obviously that can change over time, but we're in this for life. So I want to develop, as a patient, I want to develop a relationship with my support team, you know, my doctor, my naturopath. Like I've got, you know, sort of end up with lots of different people. And so it's not just a one-off It does matter. So I think you're right that there's got to be that connection. You've got to feel like you can trust them.
That's right.
I guess as a practitioner, you want to feel like you're working with a client that wants help, you know, that 100%. You know, is going to work with you. And
100%. And I'm glad you brought that up too, because, you know, being in my practice now for like 24, 25 years, I talk about this screening for patients. I want to make sure that person gets really good results. And part of that is them doing the work. I mean, I am just the vessel for the information. It's really up to them what they take on and what they do. And, you know, the clients that do the work get great results. The ones that sort of come back, oh, I didn't do that. And look, we're all human. We're all human. We all have life. Things happen. I get that. I'm a mum of three kids. You know, it happens. But, it's being passionate and really wanting to make the changes, and you can feel so much better when you bring that in. Yeah, so it's a team. Like you said, it's a team and it's a contract. It's like, well, I'm giving you the information. Let's work and see what happens and get those really good results.
Yeah, because we can feel better. And I can say that, you can say that from personal and clinical experience.
Absolutely.
So much of what I want to do in this podcast is not just this conversation, but all of the conversations is to offer hope.
Fantastic.
You know, it's complex, it's lifelong, but there's so much we can do. There's so much positive in it. So.
Yeah. And it is a gift, like looking at your thyroid. Mm. I also look at, you know, the metaphysical causes and, you know, what the thyroid gland represents, you know, metaphysically, but also, you know, seeing it as a gift, and instead of like seeing it as a life sentence and as something that's going to ruin your life. And, you know, it's so much that we can do to feel better. And it tells me, it's my barometer. When I've been doing too much, it'll just tell me slow down. And embrace that, you know, beautiful thyroid lifestyle that is, once you do embrace that lifestyle, it's actually really freeing. There's so many lessons in there for us all.
Yeah. Thank you. I think that's a really beautiful way to wrap it up. But tell us, how can people get in touch with you, Tara, if they're wanting to connect or follow you or have a consultation with you? How do they connect with you?
Yeah, so my website is, taranelson.com.au. You can find me there. I have a Instagram page, which is Tara Nelson Thyroid Health Naturally. That's my Facebook page as well, so Facebook and Instagram. I have a thyroid group, Tara Nelson Thyroid Health Naturally. That's my patient group that you can go on for lots of support, ask questions. There's lots of, you know, great people in there. I think that's about it.
Well, that's a lot. And I'll make sure I put all those links, you know, in the show notes too, so people can easily click. But that's really helpful. So thank you so much, Tara. I know you're a wealth of knowledge, and I also want to say to those that are listening that you're doing a lot of training of practitioners and, you know, in that space. And I just want to, as a patient, say thank you to you for doing that, and for people listening to know that you are doing that, because that is so important. Like, we get frustrated that practitioners don't seem to understand, but to know that there are people like you, you know, doing your bit to contribute in that way, I think is really, really fabulous. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Let's Talk Thyroid. I would love it if you would subscribe to the podcast and share it with others that you know with thyroid problems. Let's get the message out there. If you'd like to connect with me further, the best place to do that is via my website, annabellebateman.com. From there, you'll be able to join my Facebook group, book a strategy session with me, download my freebie, and access any show notes for this episode. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time. Bye.
The information presented and discussed in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and should not be used as a substitute for proper advice from a qualified professional.
Have you read Let's Talk Thyroid yet. That is the book that I put out last year. It is all about positive and practical thyroid help for the new thyroid patient, or for the thyroid patient that is new to the idea that there's anything other than taking your medication that you can do for your thyroid health. Grab your copy from Amazon or from my website, letstalkthyroid.com, or grab a copy for a friend who is struggling with their thyroid health and just needs some really accessible, bite-sized, practical, and positive information that's going to give you hope for your thyroid future.